Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, I am grateful for God's healing power working in me. So here's the deal. I don't feel bad. So I feel a lot better than I sound. So if you can deal with it, we'll have a great night. Or this could be second puberty, and I'm going to sound like Ain't James Earl Jones before it's all over again. I hope it's not second puberty. All right. A couple of announcements. AY weekend is coming up. Not this weekend, but the following weekend for your kids. And that's for your sixth through senior in high school. It is a great weekend. Really, it's like a retreat without them spending the night here. And so it's a good time. Get them signed up. Next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend's our Invite Sunday. And it looks like we're going to have a winter blast before we have a winter blast. And so I would just encourage you to keep an eye on the website. If it does snow next Tuesday or Wednesday, just keep an eye out. Because if it snows, I'm going to tell you something. I love Texas. I'm a naturalized citizen. But Texans cannot drive in snow. I mean, I love y'all, but y'all can't drive in snow. Y'all have a hard enough time in rain, but much less snow. So that is that's coming up. Also, Joy is doing her healing ARC talks this coming Sunday. And those spaces are filling up. And so Joy will be sharing some of her testimony. Our family has been blessed by the healing power of God. I was just thinking about when I said, I'm grateful for the healing power of God working in me. Joy said that for years. And she went through a very difficult sickness. She looked green at times. And people would say, how are you doing? And she'd just say, I'm strong. It got to be so the people said, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing anymore because you're going to say, I'm strong. And guess what? She's strong. And so I'm grateful for God's healing power working in her. And so if you want to find out more about healing, it's a valuable subject. And so that'll be an ARC TED Talk this coming Sunday. I think that's it. Is that it? Is that it? Okay. Ready to go? All right, let's start with stewardship first. This is our stewardship scripture. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That's in the Bible. But if you think about it, that word slack hand means negligent. Really anything that you want to improve in, you need to be consistent in. And so if you think about it, it says someone who is negligent, you're not going to make progress. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Do you know that applies almost any area of life? Where'd y'all go? Y'all got quiet all of a sudden. Just think about it. If you're diligent and working and consistent, working on your relationships, they improve. If you are decided that you're going to get in shape, it takes more than just a good thought. You actually have to show up at the gym and then do something. And if you do it consistently, you'll see results. Diligent. Slack hand becomes poor financially. You don't want to just give sporadically. You want to make it a part of your life. And if you're consistent in it, it'll bless you. And so really, just this is one of those principles in life. And how many of you know this? Consistency wins. Yes. If you can just be consistent, what was that Aesop's fable, the tortoise and the hare? And the tortoise just kept plodding along and made it. And the hare was messing around and lost. And so there it is, tortoise and the hare. The slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent will make you rich. The hand of the diligent will bless you. And you know what that applies spiritually? If you'll, now I'm talking to Wednesday night, and I'm talking to some serious people. You came on Wednesday night, y'all are here. Or you're online. At home where it's comfortable. But here's the deal. You made an effort. And so in making effort, that's where there's progress. And if you're consistent with it, it'll help you. You know, if you're consistent with church, it will actually bless your life. So you're just saying that because you're a pastor. That's exactly right. I'm saying that because I'm a pastor, and I've been doing this for a long enough time to tell you consistency still wins. You just stay in here, and you come when you don't want to come, and you listen when you don't want to listen. And if you keep it up, it will bless your life, and you will get richer spiritually. Bible 365. Come on now. You know, my voice may not be so great, but I can still get in y'all's business. Bible 365, if you're just consistent with it and read it, you'll get through the whole New Testament, or you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. Don't try to read the whole thing this month. Just try to just stay consistent, and it will enrich you spiritually. It will help you. Thank you for that one amen. It's just really, it works. It's in the Bible. It works. All right. Any other soapboxes I need to jump on? Oh. I got a whole message of soapbox tonight. Y'all ready? No. We're talking about developing a spiritual mindset. Let's pray. How many of you believe you did not waste time coming this evening? If you did, I really don't want to see your hand. I wasn't going to ask you if you did. But if you showed up, you made an effort. The Bible said in all labor there's profit. If you're watching online and you've taken the time, put the chicken down and watch. And I listen, I do that. Every time I'm watching online, I'm eating. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm a pastor, and I'm just munching on something, listening to a sermon. It does you better if you just focus. That's why coming helps you, actually, because you get in a situation where you're focused. And you just focus. We only last an hour. That's it. We're quick, but powerful. But it will make a difference. And if you stay with it, it'll make a difference. And if you stay in church, some of you said, you know, I'm going to start coming to church this year. Keep it up. It'll make a difference. You will not, if you do it on a consistent basis, you're not going to wind up at the end of the year going, gosh, I wasted all that time. You're going to find yourself in a better position. Because one of the things that church does, we remind you of all the good things God's doing in your life. See, a lot of you go to work and no one reminds you of all the good things God's doing. You see people you work with and you're like, oh, dear Lord. But you come here and you're like, oh, dear Lord, thank you. So it can make a difference. Okay. So we should go back to being quiet. Won't happen tonight. It is not going to happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your goodness, and we're grateful for the Holy Spirit and his anointing and ability to teach. And we thank you tonight. Help us. Teach us. Father, may we learn wonderful things. May we see things in a different light, and may we see them in a deeper light. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise. Thank you for what you're doing in us, what you've already done. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans, the 8th chapter, our text has been this: for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Talked about our mindset, developing a spiritual mindset. Mindset is how you view and respond to life. And it's made up of a multiple of variables. I'm recapping from last week, in case you missed it. Your upbringing, how you were raised, has a lot to do with your mindset. Don't mind telling you, Joy and I came from very different homes. Joy came from a home where her dad left when she was like 6 weeks old. And so she grew up in a single-parent home for a while. Her mom did remarry. But it impacted, bless you, it impacted, that's my man, Justin. Justin and I, Joy gets mad at me when I sneeze, because I have loud sneezes, and I'm like, you should hear Justin. Okay, stop, just for a second. How many of you are just loud sneezers? You are thinking, okay, thank you. Joy, do you see that? I am not the only one. It's not healthy to hold a sneeze back. You do know that. And it's not like we come up with, hey, let's sneeze loud today. It's part of who we are. Where was I? Joy. I was Joy and I's married. When she was married, so her view of marriage was different. And her view was really, in her family, you couldn't trust men. And so you come into a relationship like that. I grew up in a family. I was very blessed. Both my parents were born again. Both of them knew the Lord. Both of them went to church. Both of them took me to church. Now, my parents argued a lot, but they stayed together for over 60-some years. And so my perspective of marriage was different. My mindset towards marriage was different. And so whenever we would have an argument, oh, it would really upset Joy. She thought it was over. I just thought it was part of the game. I thought it was kind of like a competitive thing. Let's see who wins this argument. She looked at me one day, she said, you just like to argue. I'm like, not really, I just like to win. But this impacted our view. If you came from a home where it was, I came from a father knows best home. How many know what I'm talking about there? Leave it to Beaver, father knows best. Daddy dominated. Daddy ruled. Joy came from a mama ruled home. We have a challenge. Because we have just two perspectives coming. So how you were raised is going to impact your perspective. Your outside influences, people who are part of your life. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a professor or a teacher or a pastor. Maybe it was a relative, somebody that impacted your life and had a real influence on your perspective. Maybe it was a boss or something. And so we begin to develop a whole mindset, how we look at life, how we respond to life. We begin to develop that mindset simply by the things in our life. And then there's our experiences. You know, if you've had some really hard experiences in life, it's impacted you. If you grew up and you were subject to prejudice, it impacted you. And so a lot of these things are part of what makes up our mindset. But a lot of times, most of us were not raised in a home where I would say there was a very spiritual mindset. Maybe you were. And if you were, you were very blessed. But even my parents, who were Christians, I don't ever hardly recall them ever just taking me to the scriptures and going, this is why we do this. This is what we're doing. And developing a spiritual mindset. Remember, a spiritual mindset is life in peace. And so what we're finding is if we were raised without a spiritual mindset, if our life to this point, and you might be thinking, you know, I'm X amount of years old and I just came to the Lord. You know, I'm set in my ways. You hear people say, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Actually, that's a myth. You can teach, if you're good, you can teach an old dog new tricks. But you're not even an old dog. You're a new creation in Christ. And so we can learn. And we can grow. And so it's a process here. And God has a strategy to help us do it. A strategy is a plan of action that's intended to accomplish a specific goal. God's got a strategy. He didn't leave us there and go, well, hey, you were raised rough, and so that's just going to be the way it is. No, that can change. God's strategy includes you. Romans 12 chapter, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what's the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Would you leave that just for a second? He said, from the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So that means we have to do something with our bodies, and then not to be conformed or patterned after this world, after this age, after the prevailing philosophy of life that's in the world, but to be transformed, and that means, actually it's a whole transformation. We get the word metamorphosis from that. transformed by the renewing or the renovating of your mind. Not just your brain, but your mindset. Your mindset. So that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Your body, your mindset. Now, your body, a living sacrifice, is part of true worship. That's going to involve what we take in, what we consume, and what we do. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let me just read this verse. If you go to that 1 Corinthians verse, I'll show you a verse. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, there's a whole lot of mind renewal needs to take place right there. It said, you know, right there, he said sexual immorality is sinning against your own body. And it said, and our bodies have been bought at a price. We belong to God. Now, how many of you know that is not a prevailing mindset that's in the world? You'll hear people argue and go, well, my body is my own. Yeah, it is in a sense. But if you're a believer, you've been bought at a price and you are to glorify God in your body, which is God's. That's a different mindset. That's a mindset that, I'll just be honest with you, it's just not popular at all. I read something the other day, an article in a British publication that was saying that right now the largest number of sexually transmitted diseases are taking place in the age group 55 and up. We used to think it was the younger. The younger ones now aren't having near as much extramarital sex as the older ones. Us boomers. The ones who grew up with drug, sex, and rock and roll. And evidently hadn't let go of drug, sex, and rock and roll. But they're saying the highest number of transmitted diseases is now in that 55 and up age group. Wow. Now, obviously this is not talking about the church. I hope. But you look at people sometimes and you go, you know what, well, you need to present your body as a living sacrifice. People bow up like, who loves God? Well, if you belong to the Lord, see, that's a different mindset. That means I'm going to keep myself pure. For those of you who are really fastidious about how you eat, you ever met somebody who is just a real clean eater? They just, and man, and they're on it. It's like, hey, let's go to Popeyes. Are you kidding me? We're not going to Popeyes. Clean eaters don't go to Popeyes or McDonald's. Maybe Chick-fil-A. Maybe. Get those baked nuggets or those nuggets that don't taste as good. But anyway, clean eaters, I mean, if you met one, they are real, and they'll say things like, my body is my temple. And so I'm very careful about what I put in my body. Listen, if we're careful about what kind of food we eat, we also need to be careful about what we consume into our life. And so there are things out there that are defiling. And gosh, guys, clickbait, you got to work at it. But what we're doing is, remember, this is true worship. Lord, you're the one, and I like this. He says, for you're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I was telling the Lord, since I belong to you, I know you don't want my body feeling bad. And you don't want sickness in my body. Thank you for healing. Yes. You don't want clutter. You don't want anything that's unclean. Thank you for healing. And so that's just part of it. We have to do something with our bodies. And listen, if you say, Alan, I feel so bad because I feel tempted and I feel like I still want to do some of the things I did before I was a Christian, that is perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. When I came back to the Lord for the first three weeks, I lived on a cloud. It's like I didn't see anything. I was a single guy. I'm 22 years old here living in Texas. I sold Wrangler jeans, Western wear, and I was, man, I was just, it's like no one existed except God. And one day I was at a mall and having lunch, and a girl walked by, and I gave her the look. Don't look so innocent. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I felt so bad. And the enemy will come and say, see, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. And that's simply a lie, because I was certainly born again. I was certainly a new creation in Christ. I just need to do something with my body. You hear? So to be tempted is not a sin. And learning that we don't have to yield to it is a wonderful victory in life. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then it said, and then we have to do something with our minds to renovate or renew our minds. Ephesians 4 chapter. Paul is again repeating this theme. He says, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's your mindset. And to put on the new self, the one created, look at this, according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Now here's the thing. I'm going to read a list to you in just a second. And it's a list of how people often misinterpret Christianity. They think Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Oh, I don't want to be a part of a Christian. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. No. Christianity, we're not trying to do things to be accepted by God. That's not what we're doing. We're not trying to do things to earn our salvation. That's not what we're doing. We could not earn our own salvation. But God is a just God, and so the punishment for our sins was laid on Jesus. He took the punishment for our sins. We got his right standing with God. It was a great swap. You talk about a winning deal, that was a winning deal. So we became a new creation in Christ, and that verse said, we were created, are you ready? In righteousness and true holiness, or purity of truth. And you're thinking to yourself, who are you talking to, man? I wasn't created in righteousness and purity of truth. That's where we have to renew our mind. And renew our minds to not. So then Christianity doesn't become a sense of, I got to do this and I got to do this. Christianity becomes a sense of, God, I am finding out what you have done in me. And because I find out what you've done in me, it causes me to live different. So I'm living different, not because I'm trying to get you to accept me. It's because you already have done everything. You've accepted me. You blessed me. And because of that, now I live different. Let me put it this way. My kids did not drive really great cars. Matt, you had the best one probably, right? The Maxima. It's a good car until you modified it. Christina had an ugly car. Your car was better looking than Christina's. She had that vanilla colored Toyota Camry. Y'all remember that kind of gold colored one? And then Michael got it and he really modified it. He ran into stuff and it just. So my philosophy was all kids should have ugly cars. It's a date screener. No child ever dated my children for their car. But let's just say that you are a different parent. You're a much nicer, more gentle, gracious parent than me. And you bought your teenage child a really nice Ford Bronco truck. Those are nice, aren't they? No kid's going to laugh at that. That's a cool truck. And you bought them a truck, and you're driving home one day. It's cold. It's raining. And you see your child walking on the side of the road. And you open the car door and say, get in. Go, what's wrong? What happened to your truck? And they said, oh, I just didn't want to drive it. So you're not even wearing shoes. Where are your shoes? I didn't want to wear them. It's 40 degrees out here. You're not even wearing a jacket. No, I didn't want to wear a jacket. I bought you jackets. You've got nice shoes. I paid a fortune for those stinking sneakers that you have. I've got you all that stuff. How would you feel as a parent if you got them a nice truck and you had them nice clothes and a nice jacket, and they didn't wear any of it or drive it, would you be, oh, praise God. Praise God, we've got that Ford Bronco sitting in the driveway that no one drives. Hallelujah. You'd be angry. You'd be upset. And you'd be upset, not mad that you're, you'd be upset that they are living way beneath the level that you provided for them. You provided a much better way of living, and they chose to live far beneath. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about renewing our mind. We are finding out what God has already provided for us, what He has done for us because we've made Jesus our Lord. Now, the way we live is we begin to live up on that level. That's what God wants. He wants us living on a higher level. He doesn't want you anxious. He doesn't want you fearful. He doesn't want you afraid of life. He doesn't want you nervous. He doesn't want you just tormented all the time. He doesn't want you depressed. He wants you living on a higher level. He's done a good work in you. And so He wants us to live. Does that make sense? And so what we're learning is that we didn't just become a Christian. Okay, we get to go to heaven when we die. Listen, that's a big benefit. It beats the other direction. But while we're here, God's already done some things in us. And so we're learning to renew our mind. So this is what Paul is saying when he said, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what does that look like? Because a different mindset will produce a different life. How we treat other people, how we respond to problems and challenges, how we perceive and connect with God. So listen, I'm going to give you a template here. But again, I don't want you to see this as do's and don'ts. Oh, here we go. A bunch of do's and don'ts. No, no. I want you to see this as I can live on this level. This is what God's done in me. Because I've been created in God's likeness and righteousness and true holiness. Now, don't ask your feelings if you feel that way. You just take that by faith. Say, thank you, Lord. I don't feel like it. I don't look any different. You've done a work in me. Let's look at this first. Look in Ephesians. Therefore what? Because you've been created in God's likeness and true righteousness and purity of truth, putting away lying, speak truth each one with his neighbor because we're members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he's do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what's good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Now, here's the deal. That's a long list. But if we did not have the capacity to do this, then God would be unjust by asking us to. He's not unjust. So what we have to do is begin to renew our minds. So let's take a look at some of these areas. We're getting a different mindset. Because we're a new self. Because we're created in God's likeness and righteousness and holiness. This is a spiritual reality that impacts our mindset. So here's the deal. We have a different spiritual mindset in how we treat other people. Not lying, but speaking truth. I don't know about you. You ever had someone just lie to you? That didn't bless you. It didn't bless you. You didn't go, that's cute. They just lied to me. Oh, you want to make my wife mad? Y'all think Joy's so sweet? Y'all hadn't seen Hurricane Joy come through. Tell you what, you lie, and it sets her off. He said, but we ought to speak truth. But here's the deal. Speak truth with one another because, listen to this, here's a different thought. I know, Alan, we shouldn't lie. It's not good. Well, one thing, the Bible said Satan is a liar and the father of it. So I don't want to be like him. But it said, but we're members of one another. Now that's a mindset change. We're members of one another. I'm not going to lie to you because we're on the same team. Right. We're part of the body of Christ. If you're a believer, you're part of the body of Christ. And we don't want to hurt the body. But would you take a hammer and go, you know what? I am so sick and tired of my left hand. I'm just going to taught you something that's in your body that just hurts you. Lying to one another hurts. And we're part of the same body. I'm not going to call anybody out, guys. I'm just sharing this with you. This is different thinking. Hey, I don't want to lie because we're the same body. We're members of one another. That's a different mindset. We use our words only to build up, not to tear down. Let your speech be with grace, that your words would build up, that they edify. We've got a saying, I've said it, I laugh, just saying. You know how sometimes people say things and they're like, just saying. And what we've done is we've actually devalued how important our words are. Words build or they tear down? How are relationships built or torn down? With words. You don't ever see a couple that's like, we're having marriage problems. Well, what is it? I don't know. We never talk. Never? Mm-mm. Hadn't said a word to each other in 5 years. Well, that's another kind of problem. But typically, marriage problems start with words. Words start going, and they can tear down. Words can leave you hurting. And our words are supposed to be built up. But remember, so Alan, you're getting me condemned. No. I'm just reminding you the level of life that we have the potential to live because we are new creations in Christ. And we're putting off the old self, and we're putting on the new self, and the new self looks good. The new self is powerful. The new self is a blessing. The new self. You say, well, I just, you know, now I got to stop lying. And then I have to use good words toward people. This is just too much. Listen, it's a process. It's a process. If you've been lying, stop. It ain't hard. Just stop. If your words have been unkind, take the thumper rule. Anybody remember Thumper and Bambi? If you can't say anything good, just be quiet. You'd be amazed at just how quiet. But we can use our words to build up. I'm enjoying this. I don't know if you guys are enjoying this. But we're taught, remember, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. How do we get to life and peace? We get to life and peace by doing it God's way. Your life is not going to be blessed by you lying to people. Because once they figure out you're lying to them, your relationships start to diminish.
That's right.
Your relationships aren't built up if you're constantly tearing people down and just ripping people apart with your words. That's not helping anybody. Your words are supposed to minister grace to them. Because you know what? God ministered grace to you. How many of us were not really living well when the Lord found us, called us, we came to Him, and He was merciful to us, and He was good to us. Guys, this is where we're going. We are people who have been forgiven and been given grace. We're the ones who are supposed to extend that to other people.
Amen.
And to especially to one another.
That's right.
Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because you carry a big Bible. They'll know you're my disciples because you got an ARC sticker on the back of your car. No, they might. That's why I don't have one. I don't drive well enough to have a good witness on my vehicle. They will know you're my disciples because of what? Because you love. How we treat one another. This is one of the things, this is one of the earmarks of this church. The people come in here from all walks of life, all races, all backgrounds. We got them all here. I tell people, you can't find a group that you fit with at the Ark. You're just not looking. We got them all. bikers to bankers and every stop in between. But here's the deal. What makes the difference is the environment we create when people come in, because we're not going to condemn them and we're not going to criticize them. We're going to love them. We're going to help them. We're going to help them understand the grace that God has poured out on them and that they can live a better life. This is what we do. But to get to that better life, it's not just, okay, I'm going to go to church. Lord, I'm going to go to church every Wednesday. For a whole month. Jesus, I'm going to do it. And I think people kind of make that deal with God. God, I'm going to go to church and I'll even go on Sunday. Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday and Wednesday. Lord, I'm going Sunday and Wednesday for a whole month. And they expect their life to change, and it can, but life changes when we begin to pick up the Bible for ourselves, when we begin to hear words about what God's done for us, and then we begin to say, I can do this differently. I know I grew up in a family that lied all the time, but I'm going to live differently. I know I grew up constantly cutting people down with my words, but I can pour out grace with my words. I can live differently. I can honor the Lord. Amen. Spiritual mindset has to be developed. It won't come overnight, but you're off to a good start. Don't quit. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heavenly Father, your grace towards us is amazing, and we appreciate it. We thank you. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's watching online, everyone who is here, who made an effort. There's a heart towards you. And Lord, I thank you that you see that, you honor that, and you'll walk with them every step of the way. Since your bowed eyes are closed, if you came this evening and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't really know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm just not sure, but I want to be sure. Or maybe you were at one time. That's kind of where I was. I had a relationship with the Lord, and for about 3.5 years, I got away from him. Maybe that's you, but you're thinking, I don't want to live that way. I want to live connected. I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. This prayer is going to apply to both. If you're watching online, it's for you. But we're going to say this prayer. I am going to ask you to do one thing. Heads are bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. If that's you I'm talking to and you want our prayers, would you slip your hand up just real quick and say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can still pray with us. And if you're watching online, obviously I can't see you, but you can pray. This prayer changed your life. Simple, but powerful. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come in and those who've come back. Lord, we rejoice with them. We are so glad. And Lord, I thank you also for those who came, who have a desire to grow, to learn, to become all that you called them to be. Thank you. You've made a way. You've made it available to us. We've got everything we need. Thank you for what you've done in us. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.